Let us pray and ask God's illuminating spirit on his word tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again tonight to ask you to bless your holy word. It is living. It is true. It is holy. We thank you for the guidance that it provides. And we pray that you would make it effective in our hearts tonight, that we would be built up as a people of God, that our faith would be strengthened, that we would have direction and guidance for the week ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, we begin reading at verse 1, and we will be reading through chapter 10, verse 3. This is God's holy and inspired word. On the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering, both without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And say to the people of Israel, take a male goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you." And they brought what Moses commanded in front of the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, "This is the thing that the Lord commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded." So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. Then he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him piece by piece, and the head, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering that was for the people and killed it and offered it as a sin offering like the first one. And he presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the rule. And he presented the grain offering, took a handful of it and burned it on the altar besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he killed the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people. And Aaron's sons handed him the blood, and he threw it against the sides of the altar. But the fat pieces of the ox and of the ram, the fat tail and that which covers the entrails and the kidneys and the long lobe of the liver, they put the fat pieces on the breasts, and he burned the fat pieces on the altar. But the breast and the right thigh Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord, as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar, and when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. And our text this evening, the three verses of verse 10. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a story about worship. This is a story about order. This is a story about preserving the purity of religion. This is also a story about God's holiness and God's glory. And it's the church's story because this is the church's calling. When the church is directed and guided by the word of God, the church is free. Free because the church can live and move and worship within the bounds of what God has commanded. There are principles in Scripture that guide our worship in the church. And there are commands that God has specified. And we have to do what God has commanded us. And we have to take those biblical principles and apply them decently and in good order. And our God is a God of order. He's a God of the details. And this brief reading in the book of Leviticus proves that. And God commands the church to observe His order. The priests in Israel had very specific garments to wear. They had very specific practices to do. In the eight chapters that precede what we've read tonight, we get all of these lists of details, the kinds of sacrifices that had to be made, when those sacrifices were to be made, what animals were involved in which particular sacrifices. Our God is a God of order, a God of the details. But our God is also a God of holiness and glory, and He's worthy of both, and He deserves the reverence. He deserves the honor. Because of who He is. Because He's Almighty God. And so when God's people come before Him and worship Him, we're to bring that kind of reverence and that honor and that glory to our God. But we find out that there are two sets of consequences in the text that we've read tonight. In the first two verses, we find out that there are consequences for living outside God's order. And these consequences bring division, destruction, desolation. But there are also consequences in verse 3 of living within God's holy order. And they are God's sanctification and God's glorification. This is more than a mere story of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. What Nadab and Abihu did was an abomination before the Lord. And they weren't ignorant. They knew what they were doing. When we step outside the bounds of what God prescribes, we risk certain consequences. When we worship God in an improper way, and we see that these two priests of Israel did that, they disobeyed the commands of the Lord and they were destroyed for it, consumed by the same holy fire that had consumed the offering. God burned up the sacrifices in judgment. He was saying to the people, in effect, I have burned up your sins. Those sacrifices were acceptable before the Lord, and He took the sins of the people away. But when Nadab and Abihu come with these censers of incense, they're consumed by the very same flame of judgment. They were priests, sons of Aaron. They were consecrated along with Aaron, in Leviticus chapter 8. And they knew exactly what they were supposed to do. Oil was sprinkled on them. They were taught all of the specifics of God's sacrificial system, all of the requirements of the sacrifices. They knew the law. They had been taught the law. They were required to uphold that law. They were entrusted to hold that pure religion in Israel, entrusted to direct the people of God in the pure worship of their Lord and their God. So this is more than just a story of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And they did at least three things wrong. The first thing they did wrong is they brought unauthorized fire. or literally strange fire. The fire that was supposed to be used in the sacrifice of incense was fire that came right from the altar of God. It was supposed to be holy fire, fire from God, authorized fire. And Nadab and Abihu, they put together their own fire. And they completely taint and destroy the sacrifice that was supposed to be before the Lord. They ruin the whole thing. It might have smelled the same, it might have looked the same, but God knew the difference. God knew that they were using unauthorized, strange fire. The first thing that they did wrong was change the sacrifice. The second thing they did wrong was that their timing was wrong. Nothing in the commandments of God said to offer incense at this time, along with the sin offering, along with the burnt offering. Their timing was off. And the last thing they did wrong is that they did it together. It's the two of them that bring incense. And God never anywhere prescribes the offer of incense to be brought by more than one priest. The offer of incense was supposed to be done by Aaron and Aaron alone. And he was to do it in the morning on the altar of God, an altar laid with gold. It was Aaron, not Nadab and Abihu, that was supposed to do it, and certainly not together. So these two sons of Aaron, they challenge the authority, the glory, and the honor of God by bringing this sacrifice. They change the sacrifice. Their timing is off. And they come to God with a spirit of self-will. And their punishment is destruction, consummation by God's flame. As is so often the case with innovation in worship, these men were not ignorant. They knew they were in the wrong. They did this on purpose. But these men were also not sanctified in their hearts. They weren't coming before God with reverence. But God is not to be mocked. He's not to be trifled with. His holy word stays normative. We have to worship within the bounds of what He's commanded, because He's a God of worship, God of honor. And if we don't do that, we face the consequences. Now, the punishment for Nadab and Abihu is very severe, but it fit the crime, because God is a holy God, not one to be played around with. And when His people come to worship Him, they have to worship Him as a holy God. God is not our buddy. We don't get chummy with God, especially when we come to worship Him. We have to come with reverence, because He's a holy God. He's Almighty God. He's the God who created the entire world, the God who saves the world. He's the God of all power and all glory. There's no one greater than God. We don't have the right to treat Him as anything less than that. So Nadab and Abihu are punished severely, because that's how seriously God takes His holiness and His glory. See, the point of worship is to keep God at the focus, to keep God at the center of our worship. And if we try to get creative or innovative in our worship in such a way that it distracts us from that, then we're bringing strange fire. If our hearts are not penitent before the Almighty God, if a spirit of love and fellowship and Christian purity isn't running through our worship service, if Jesus Christ isn't preached, it doesn't stay central, we're bringing strange fire. And our minds can get distracted from worshiping God. But our minds and our souls and our hearts have to be centered and attentive on worshiping God alone. We come to worship because He's called us to it. We don't come here by our own merits or by our own desires or by our own wills. God calls us to worship Him. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus Christ that we can come. And so if our worship obscures in any way the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're committing the same sin of Nadab and Abihu, who said, the burnt offering is not enough, and so we'll offer incense as well. But are we wiser than God to think or to act in any way that our works need to come into the picture for our salvation? Do we think or act or believe that we need to add something to the worship that God hasn't prescribed? Is it not enough to worship God alone for the sake of Jesus Christ? We come here because we're saved in the blood of Jesus, and that is all. That's why we're here. And our worship has to reflect that. Our worship has to reflect our salvation by grace through faith. The Word of God is like a worship manual. It has prescriptions and guidelines, and they still apply today. We don't change what He has already said. And imagine the duties of the elders who have to watch over these services, who have to watch over our fellowship of believers, who have to know the difference between what is proper worship of God and what is improper, who have to know the difference between what is in order and what is not in order. But they watch over those things for our protection. They watch over that so that the consequences of improper worship aren't experienced here. Because those consequences are still there. And I'm not talking about fire raining down from heaven. Those aren't the consequences that we face today. But we face consequences when we don't worship God with reverence. We face consequences when the salvation of Jesus Christ is obscured in the worship service. We face consequences when God is not the center and the focus of what we do here in His house. The consequences are dead or dying churches. We see people leave the church. We see children of the covenant leave the faith. And we see the world around us suffer because of the disobedience of the church. And we see that the world around us doesn't change. Because more often than not, with innovation, we become just like the world. And the consequences that we face are divided churches. People of God that don't get along. Splits and schisms and segregation. People who all claim the name of Jesus Christ, but can't worship together. And the blessedness of unity that God gives to His church starts to dwindle. Brothers and sisters, you've heard that the man who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Well, it's also true that the church that lives in disorder can die in disorder. These are the consequences when we abandon formal worship. Because when Nadab and Abihu presented this incense, this strange fire before the Lord, they started along a pathway. And it was a pathway that eventually led to the total abandonment of God's law. It's the same in the church today. A church that gives up biblical principles of worship for the sake of human invention and innovation, that church will eventually give up the entire Word of God. And that Word of God includes Jesus Christ, our High Priest, who offered the perfect sacrifice before the Lord Himself, who came down to earth at the right time, who didn't run away from God's law and God's order, but ran toward it to fulfill it. And He followed it to a T. If a church gives up this Jesus Christ, the church gives up its salvation. And it can take years and years and maybe even centuries. But eventually you see that worship is a matter of salvation because it involves God's holiness, God's glory, God's Word. Secondly, tonight at verse 3, consequences for living within God's order. If we seek to be obedient to God's word, if we seek to follow His instructive order, then we see these other consequences. The text says that God commands that the church observe the order that he has prescribed, and he gives it two goals. He talks about his sanctification and he talks about his glorification. Those are the goals of our worship before God. And it was those two things that Nadab and Abihu were threatening, that they were challenging, that they were going against, that they were not upholding as priests in Israel. They brought their sacrifice and they rejected their office as priest. They profaned God's name and they injured his sanctification and his glory. And then God speaks a message through Moses to Aaron. And he says that he will be sanctified before all people, that he will be glorified before his people. It's his due as holy God, it's his right. He deserves that for who he is. There is no one that is higher or greater than God, no one that is greater or more worthy of praise. In Numbers 15 is very clear that anyone who despises the Lord or comes to him in an unworthy manner will be cut off, because that is how seriously God takes his honor and his glory. If God's people neglect to sanctify God, he will sanctify himself with penal judgment. In Ezekiel 38, verse 16, God says to the nation of Gog, "I will vindicate my holiness before the eyes of my people." This is serious because Nadab and Abihu were set apart in Israel as priests. Only the sons of Aaron could be priests. They were of the tribe of Levi, but they had to be sons of Aaron. And they were set apart to present sacrifice for the people, to serve the people, but they were also set apart as examples for the people. It's examples for guidance, to lead them along proper worship. And the mission, the duty that was placed in their hand, they were entrusted with this worship in order, duty-bound to make sacrifice. And their priestly work would set apart God from the other gods. And it would set apart the nation of Israel from the other nations, for they worshiped the holy God, the only true God, in a way that he prescribed. None of the pagan rituals or sacrifices or the temple prostitutions, the slashing of the prophets of Baal. Those things weren't among the people of Israel because God gave them a different order. Because God is a different God than the other gods. It's all because of the work of Jesus Christ that we come here to worship. Because when God says in the text, "Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." When he says that, he's talking about us. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, we are brought near to God. And the way that we worship God will result in his sanctification and his glorification, in his honor and his glory. Jesus Christ also made us into a spiritual priesthood. The Apostle Peter says in his first letter that we are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're brought close to God and we're sanctified now just as the priests were in the Old Testament. Our lives are brought before God as living sacrifices. And our worship is to bring that sanctification and glorification to God. Just as it was the concern of the priests back then to sanctify the Lord, that is now our concern in Jesus Christ. To be obedient, to follow that order. So when we come before God, we're to perform every part of true religion, to come with reverence and humility, to come with penitent hearts, and most of all, to come before God in faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who took our sins upon himself. We come to God in Christ's name. We confess that we believe he's glorious. We praise him and we pray that his praise abounds and that all the nations hear of it, that God continues to be set apart from the other gods of this world. And that happens as we worship him here tonight. in His presence. And our response to God's gracious acts, our response to His call to worship, is the same as Aaron's response. Aaron kept silent. He kept his peace. Because Aaron had two choices before him. He could either uphold the duties of his office and uphold the sanctification and glorification of God by keeping silent, or he could further profane the name of God by mourning for his sons. His choices were to be obedient or to be disobedient, to recognize God's glory, to recognize God's justice in his punishment, or to lead and make another bad example for the people by rebelling against that, by speaking against God's judgment. It needs to be our response. As part of that holy priesthood, as people of God, to respond to His call to worship with thanksgiving and praise, with reverence, to come before Him and fulfill the duties of our office as priests. Spiritual priests, to come before Him as a people united in one faith, confessing one Lord. By way of conclusion tonight, I invite you to turn to page 84 in the back of your Psalter hymnals. And I would like us to read Article 30 of the Belgic Confession regarding the government of the church and its offices. Regarding the upholding of pure worship, I would like us to read that together. Article 30, and let's say together, we believe that this true church must be governed by that spiritual polity which our Lord has taught us in His Word, namely, that there must be ministers or pastors to preach the word of God and to administer the sacraments, also elders and deacons, who together with the pastors form the council of the church, that by these means the true religion may be preserved and the true doctrine everywhere propagated. Likewise, transgressors punished and restrained by spiritual means, also that the poor and distressed may be relieved and comforted according to their necessities. By these means, everything will be carried on in the church with good order and decency when faithful men are chosen according to the rule prescribed by St. Paul in his epistle to Timothy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the good order that You have prescribed, for the order of Your church, and as we've seen from Leviticus 10, for the order of Your worship. Father, we pray that You would bless our worship here, in this place, in Your sanctuary, in Your presence, that You would be pleased to hear our praises, to accept our offerings, that You would hear our prayers. And we thank You for Your word. Pray that You would strengthen us now as we go forward into another week, that You would give us strength to follow what You have prescribed in Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to number